What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's February 13th, one day before Valentine's Day, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. Mark, you feeling the love in the air? How you feeling over there?
Happy early Valentine's Day, buddy. I actually did good this year. I actually have presents. My wife, this will be so piece of press. She doesn't listen. She will never listen to this. She's here's enough of my opinions. I don't have like gift bags in our card yet. So I still have to do the loser husband CVS shopping after we do this.
Me too. Yeah. I'm going to have to do that tomorrow. Well, I used to do this whole thing. It's like, I used to have this whole position. I was like, no, Valentine's Day is a corporate bullshit holiday. It's like, it's consumerism writ large. They're conning us all is what's happening here. It has nothing to do with love. And I'm not going to play into that. Right. And it turns out that don't really go over particularly well. You should at least get some flowers or chocolates. Yeah. It's like, is that stance really worth not buying a heart-shaped box of chocolates and telling your wife you love her or whatever? You know, sure.
I used to have the same stance about marriage itself, and yeah, I did that. Right. So there we
right.
go.
Yeah. But also, I looked it up for my Patreon last year, and some form or semblance of Valentine's Day has actually been around for like a pretty long time, which I didn't really, I know it's like the whole narrative is it was created by Hallmark or whatever, but that's not entirely accurate. Some like it's been a thing for longer than you think. So
yeah, the pagans probably had a designated day to be horny. So we just kept it going. So yeah, a couple things before we get to the show. So the Super Bowl will happen on Sunday. Congratulations to Chiefs Nation. So the Chiefs won, obviously. So it's either bad news for America's Patriots or great news because their conspiracy theories are proved right and the CIA pulled it off. Mm-hmm. But Trump came out before they seem to deeply believe that Taylor Swift was going to endorse Joe Biden at the trophy presentation. Anyway, so Trump was like all over. He basically came out and said that Taylor Swift would be a traitor for endorsing not him because he signed the Music Modernization Act, which the idea that Trump was deep in the weeds negotiating new regulations for streaming and copyright infringements, hella funny to me.
So if you read the actual message he wrote, though, I feel like it's about as diplomatic as you'll ever see Trump be, where he's like, no, she would never do that. She would never be disloyal to me. Besides, I like her boyfriend, Travis, despite him being a dirty liberal. You know, like, I think he's fine. I like him. Because my takeaway from this message was like, holy shit, even Donald Trump lives in fear of the Swifties retribution. You know what I mean? Like even he doesn't want to incur their wrath because he's walking on eggshells when talking about Taylor Swift. And he don't do that with nobody else. So
yeah, he really wants her endorsement. It's also really funny that people have like decided that Travis Kelce's become the face of soy boy libs.
He's such a dude, bro.
His deepest political opinion is probably like, it'd be cool if Obama made an album or something. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. He took money from Pfizer to do a vaccine ad or whatever. And he dates Taylor Swift, who hates Marsha Blackburn and whatnot. And that makes him, you know, Karl Marx or something of the gridiron, which is all pretty, pretty ridiculous.
It wasn't just his opinion. This wasn't just funny to me. Here's a quote from Dina LaPolte, who's an entertainment attorney who lobbied Congress over this and helped draft the bill. The claim is funny to me. Trump did nothing under legislation except sign it, and he doesn't even know what the Music Modernization Act does. Someone should ask him what the bill actually accomplished. Now, what do you want to say for me? The bill did some bullshit. It made it easier to archive what was getting copyrighted where. So, artists, streaming music companies, and Blade record labels were all on board for it because it made it easier for artists to get paid and also for record companies and streamers to not get sued. But for me personally, it doesn't hit because it made it a lot harder to sample and rap, it seems like. And I like sample rap over keyboard beats. So that's my personal complaint about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You big Puff Daddy fan? You big P. Diddy guy?
Dr. Dre, all the greats, man. Like, Run the Jewels, last album was delayed. Yeah, it was delayed like a month because it couldn't clear a sample. Like,
they all sample, dude. It's wild. There's some Instagram accounts and stuff you can follow where it's just dedicated to, like, the various sampling that happens in rap music. And not in a critical way, in a wild way. They'll take some esoteric song, reverse it, slow it way down, and make that the foundation for a trap beat or whatever. It's pretty crazy the shit they do. Whereas, you know, Puff Daddy, he just like took songs from the '80s, made them sound so crazy, as he himself said. So
the producers, as much like as people don't get it, like they are actual artists and musicians, and like they do crazy shit with it. Like, do you know who the most sampled, one of the most sampled musical artists is Michael McDonald, the cheesy '80s crooner. Rappers love Michael McDonald.
There's another one. I'll tell you who I thought you were going to say, because there's another guy who's on that same list. Billy Squire. Billy Squire, stroke me. His like apparently a lot of his bass licks and stuff from his songs and shit. He's also one of the most heavily sampled artists of all time. And rappers give it up to Billy Squire too, because he's like a foundational contributor to hip hop. Billy Squire is because of sampling. So yeah, it's a fun rabbit hole.
So another thing Trump did over the weekend was he asked his followers without validation that he looks like Elvis. If you throw the picture up, Matt, he put this up on Truth Social and asked his followers to talk about it. So let me quote here. For so many years, people have been saying that Elvis and I look alike. Now this pic has been going all over the place. What do you think? And I got to say, no. Also, it's Elvis at like 24 years old.
Right.
It's not the first time he's tried to say he looks like Elvis, by the way. He did it in 2018. Apparently, he's been doing this bit since the 90s. That's crazy.
It's funny. The first thing that popped into my head was that Counting Crows song, Round Here, where he says she got off the bus from Nashville or whatever. She said she liked to meet a boy who looks like Elvis. And I pictured like Donald Trump walking up in the video. You know what I mean? Like some little ingenue gets off the bus in Los Angeles looking for a boy who looks like Elvis. And then Donald Trump walks up standing like a centaur and whatnot, being all orange and shit. It'd be a big disappointment.
It did start a fun conversation in his mentions about whether or not if Elvis he was alive, would be MAGA. That was funny. So a lot of them said no. They liked Elvis. Like they disagreed. They thought Elvis like wouldn't be on board with their movement. So I thought that was interesting. But
I love Elvis. You know, like Elvis is one of those those old school superstars, especially in the music world, were full blown insane. Right? Mm-hmm. Like they were crazy. So like
he married a 12-year-old and died in a toilet.
That's what I'm saying. There's no telling what he would have thought. It could have been like he could love RFK Jr. It could be QAnon shit, but he also hates racism and thinks gay people are cool. But you know, like nothing would surprise me as far as Elvis's political beliefs.
Yeah. So while everybody was talking about their favorite Super Bowl commercials, I want to flag mine. It was one ran by a tech entrepreneur named Dan O'Dowd, who bought ad time in five different markets to say that Tesla sucks. He runs an organization called the Dawn Project, which basically only exists to try to put Tesla out of business, or at least try to get to stop from using their full self-driving. This is the second year in a row he's bought Super Bowl commercials. Both involve showing Tesla's mow down dummies of children in crosswalks and shit. It is like, so you aired them in D.C., Dover, Delaware, Santa Barbara, California, and Traverse City, Michigan. Now, D.C. government, Dover, Delaware, Joe Biden lives there. Santa Barbara, I guess Elon probably lives there. And Traverse City, Michigan, that's where Mayor Pete, Secretary of Treasury, lives. He only spent $500,000 on these ads, but he spent more than $10 billion of his own money on this campaign so far, trying to get rid of Tesla full self-driving, while claiming he's never shorted Tesla or any stock. He's doing this purely out of the kindness or, I don't know, beef of it. I just love billionaire beefs. Imagine having $10 billion to try to ruin another guy's
campaign. That's what I was about to say. $10 billion he spent just on like trying to take Tesla down or whatever, or not even Tesla at large, just like Tesla's self-driving thing. I mean, I just, because of the way I feel about billionaires, I can't help, but I know you just said he claims he's never shorted a stock. I just can't help but assume there has to be something else going on, but maybe it's just like a personal beef. You know what I mean? Maybe Elon stole his girl or something.
I'm agnostic on shorting stuff, except it seems stupid. But like Elon's always railing against short sellers, because like what a short seller would do is basically they take their position, they try to do oppo research to drive your stock price down, right? So like if imagine you're just going along having a stock, and all of a sudden somebody's spending $10 billion to try to ruin your stock price, you got to be like, this seems like some bullshit. Anyway, not my money. So one more thing we're getting to the show. Today is a special election in New York to replace our old returning champion, George Santos. The race involves former U.S. Rep. Tom Suozzi, S-U-O, I don't know how to say it. And she's running against Nassau County Legislature Maisie Pillip. I'm sorry if I'm butchering all these names. I never heard them said out loud. She's technically the conservative nominee, the Republican nominee, although she is a registered Democrat. It's very weird. It's been a very weird race. They're both running to see who loves Israel the most. But of course, the House is 219, 212, and almost nobody shows up every day. So like one seat makes a big difference right now. Fun subplot here is so far the turnout's very low. One election official's quote is saying it's nothing. So it's still snowing there. It was snowing real bad on Long Island. So the New York GOP has been suing unsuccessfully to overturn the Democrats' 2023 law allowing no excuse early voting by mail, and the GOP has demagogued against early voting for years. So they might lose this race because they're dumbasses and it snowed.
Yeah.
And the exit polls are showing are looking pretty bad for Republicans right now. The polls don't close till 9 o'clock Eastern time, so we get off, so we won't know they won. But anyway, I hope their fuckery bites them in the ass because it's funny when that happens.
So first of all, them being hoisted by their own petard, be still my heart. Who would have ever thought we'd see something like that? But also, like, you talk about how low the turnout is, so that means that like. Does that imply that George Santos really rallied the vote there, like as compared to now? Like he really motivated them in this district of Long Island, really got the vote out? Because
well, it was a presidential election year, so that's got to be a factor.
All right, yeah. People were showing up for other reasons. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll see how it goes. The Maisie Pillip or whatever, like I said, registered Democrat, but the Republican candidate, also an Ethiopian Jew who served in the Israeli Defense Force. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of layers over there for them. You know what I mean?
She was apparently apparently a paratrooper. So I'm not fucking with her, but I hope she loses.
Yeah.
Although she refused to say whether she voted for Trump in 2016 or 2020. And again, she's a registered Democrat. She might get there and then caucus with Democrats until they fuck them. That'd also be really funny.
Dude, if somebody on their side pulled some fucking Joe Manchin shit or whatever, I'd be all for it. And it's funny. I guess they probably think that happens all the time. Like they probably think that Mitt Romney is doing that. Do you know what I mean? Or like that's what happened to Kinzinger and Liz Cheney and shit like that. And it's like, mm-hmm. Liz Cheney is way more of a fucking arch conservative than Joe Manchin is a liberal. You know what I mean? Right. It ain't the same thing. I'd love to have an actual Joe Manchin type presence, the equivalent in the GOP, I mean. But anyway, let's get into it. Before we continue, I want to let y'all know that producer Matt is with us back there pulling the strings, doing the things. It's his weekly skews. I've got some items of business for y'all. Number one, if you'd like to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, and you should want to do that, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in Indianapolis next. I just got back from St. Louis, Missouri. Those shows were very fun. Thanks to all y'all who came out. I know there were a lot of skewers there, so I appreciate y'all. Go to treycrowder.com. Check it out. Also on treycrowder.com, me and Corey have a book, Round Here and Over Yonder, comedic travel guide. You can also get it on Audible. We read it dumbly, but funnily. So check that out too. And lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can just go on Patreon and search for my name. You'll find it either way. $5 a month gets you access to full length bonus episodes. We got one coming up this week. We do two a month. Things that come up in between the shows, things we don't have time for, just things we want to talk about. It's a good time. So get some more skews in your life and support the show in the process. Now, as for the show tonight, we got some breaking news for y'all. Don't know if y'all have heard this or not, so you might want to sit down. This is a pretty big piece of information. Turns out Joe Biden is still old. That's right. People are still real upset at how old Joe Biden continues to be. And apparently he is old enough to outweigh all of the things about Donald Trump in some people's minds. We'll talk about that equation a little later. Yeah, Mark, you got something for that now?
I was going to say, it's like the big topic is whether or not Joe Biden's brain's leaking out his ears, and our media is trying to get to the bottom of it by yelling at each other on cable news, which is our most effective investigation technique. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, so we'll get to that a little later, but first, we got a bunch of other stuff for you, beginning with, of course, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. tonight's DD, Cannibal Sausage Chefs in Idaho, for not realizing that their time is now up. I know this is weird, but let's watch this.
Thank Representative Scott.
In one of the most anticipated moments of the morning,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Republican Representative Heather Scott stepped to the podium in the House State Affairs Committee.
RS 31078, cannibalism. And I know this seems like it's a heavy topic, actually. It might seem kind of gruesome, and it kind of is.
Cannibalism is already a crime in Idaho under a chapter titled Mayhem. Any person who willfully ingests the flesh or blood of a human being is guilty of cannibalism. It was passed in 1990 after a rash of unfounded satanic panic investigations in Idaho during the 80s. Representative Scott wants to add a line to that law. Anyone who willfully provides said flesh and blood to another person to ingest, right, without that person.
I say pause it for a second, Matt. Can you pause it? Because I think there's some more of this that people should see, in my opinion. But Mark, here's what I thought when it got to this part where it says she wants to add a line that says anyone who willfully provides the flesh or blood of another human being to be ingested without their knowledge or consent. I thought this was about to be some adrenochrome shit. I thought this was going to be her like trying to get out in front of us liberals spiking Republican drinks at parties with baby blood and shit. I thought that's what she was worried about, but turns out that's not the case. It's equally dumb though.
No, it's it's like we should also honestly rename this show made up problems by Republicans.
Absolutely.
Like it's like what the fuck are you, but like she made up a problem that people are serving human flesh to make an addendum to a law that was originally passed because of a made up problem with satanic panic in the 80s. Right.
Well, I've always thought, as somebody from Tennessee where this happens all the time, everybody talked about DeSantis's Don't Say Gay bill. As far as I'm aware, Tennessee had the first Don't Say Gay bill, not bragging, way back in like 2010 or 2011.
Back when nobody was saying gay?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it was way ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that like these state level, especially Republicans in states like Tennessee and Idaho, they need some way to get their names out there. Do you know what I mean? They don't have a whole lot to like actually do. I mean, they have stuff they could be doing, but they're not going to. And they need some way to like make a splash or make a name for themselves. So they come up with these wild ass, esoteric, totally unnecessary, ridiculous laws and amendments and stuff so that they'll be covered in the news. And, you know, I mean,
I don't know if it's the news. I think you're right that they have no desire to solve any real problems.
Right.
So they got to fill their day up with something, so they make up a fake problem. Now, the problems he's trying to solve is twofold here. One's real, one is wild. The real one is she sort of heard that Washington State has a human composting law where, like, you can do, like, they have green cemeteries where, like, you can do the natural thing and be buried in, like, some sort of, like, you know, environmentally friendly bag, and then your compost can be used to like feed plants or something. If that kind of
I've heard of that for years and years. You can like have your ashes turned into a tree or something, like, and it's sort of hippy dippy, but like I didn't know anybody was perturbed by that. I mean,
also, like some places,
nature, who gives a shit?
Some places are running out of space to bury people, like London. Like I remember reading, like in London, like burial plots are super expensive because there's no place more to put bodies there. So like the anyway, this is the solution to that problem. Anyway, but that doesn't hit for her because she thinks they're using the compost to like feed plants that go into the food supply. So therefore, she thinks that's the downstream of communism or whatever. But I got some news for you about what all the dirt on Earth is. It's dead people. But the made up thing, and this is the wild part. She saw a TV show on a flight. She said it was a video of a food show. On the show, contestants were told that human flesh is a possible ingredient in the food. And that sounds horrifying, except the video she saw, and it must have been a short flight, was footage from an old David Spade show. It was a prank show called Fameless, which used improv like to test how far people would go to be famous. And the participants on the show, Matt, you just show them right here if you want to show them.
The three secret ingredients that might be found in this amazing sausage that you made for us today.
The three secret ingredients that might be found in this sausage are fish liver, human flesh, or shark.
Why shark third? I have a note.
Are those really the three ingredients?
Yeah.
And one of the options they told these people that was in the food was human flesh.
Or human flesh.
God help you, it better be shark. not okay. That's so, not all right.
You know, it's a wonderful renewable protein.
Well.
All right, good. So yeah, she got taken in by a true TV comedy show that she thought was like a documentary where they were feeding people human flesh. And she was the only person on Earth who was outraged by this.
So I don't know about you, but I'll see clips sometimes of like Republicans doing dumb shit. And like, and I've still been taken in by this before, but like, I want to send it to the text thread with you, Corey and Drew or something. Before I do that, I will try to find out, is this real? Do you know what I mean? Like before I even send it in a text thread, so I don't look like a dumbass, I try to Google, like, is this, are they really doing this? You know? And then, this lady drafted legislation, like, without going through that process. Like, I won't send a text message without trying to find out whether I'm being took or not. She, like, drawing up whole laws and bills and shit. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, so she's wild. And Representative Heather Scott, in 2015, she was reported to have cut wires as they were part of a fire suppression system in her office because she believed that there were listening devices that were spying on her. She also told a female lawmaker she worked with that she must have got her ranking committee appointments by spreading her legs. So yeah, she's just a straight up fucking lunatic.
Dude, something else this made me think of, which made me feel dumb because I'd never thought of it before. This is the first time I really thought about the fact that, like, these people both, like, hate on the left for trying to take their cheeseburgers away and being all insufferable and vegan because we refuse to eat. We feel so bad for the little baby chickens. We won't eat them, and that's what the world's coming. We're such huge pussies that we won't even eat a fish because it has feelings, and they're tired of it. And at the same time, we eat babies. We drink baby blood. And want to institute cannibalism into American culture. And it's like, it's just like how, you know, they think Joe Biden is both, like, you know, this shadow agent threat to democracy or whatever, the likes of which the world has never seen, but also a totally incompetent papaw. It's just like Antifa is the biggest pussies on earth, but, you know, secret agent samurai liberals who are going to take the whole system down. Like, it just, none of it makes any goddamn sense, but I hadn't thought about this particular dynamic before, though. Like,
something I learned researching this is, like, Idaho apparently is the only state in America that has a law on the books against cannibalism. So we can eat people in California, so we should get to it.
If you kill someone to eat them, that's already covered. That's murder. You can't do that, right? But I remember I saw once this story on Reddit, a self-reported story of this guy who, like, for some medical reason had to have his foot amputated. Uh-huh. And then he cooked and ate his own foot. And look, not only did he eat it, he made tacos out of his foot and served it to his friends. They knew it. He didn't spring it on them. They were aware that they were going to eat his foot. Uh-huh. And that ought not be. I don't think you should eat your feet or anybody else's feet, but, like, something like that, I don't think that should be illegal either. I mean, goddamn, it's his foot. You can eat your foot if you want to. I'm not in favor of it, but.
Coincidentally, I was listening to a podcast about the history of cannibalism recently. It wasn't like a whole series, just an episode. I mean, but it was like, there's a tribe where cannibalism is seen as like a benevolent, loving thing. Like, when your loved one passes, they can make a request for you to eat them, so you'll always be a part of them. And that people do that. So it's just like, it's also less like a fun thing I learned is, like, apparently Christopher Columbus lied and said a bunch of tribes were cannibals, so people back home would be cooler with him enslaving them. So yeah.
Yep. That all checks out. Our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is people walking around thinking they could be from somewhere else in the middle of Times Square. Only white Americans in Times Square, y'all. That's what's just
the most popular tourist destination on the planet.
3 million by 500. That's $106,000 debit card. Not a bad deal. I don't think they're giving them to vets that are homeless in New York City. Not that I've heard, Curtis.
Well, in fact, our guys have just taken down one of the migrant guys right here on the corner, 42nd and 7th. While all
can you pan the camera?
They've taken over. They've taken over. You'd like the camera over there if at all possible.
Yep.
All right. You can cut it, Matt. So what you're seeing that's Curtis Sliwa that Sean Hannity's interviewing. He's the founder and head of the Guardian Angels for like 45 years. And the camera panned over to show other Guardian Angels confronting an unidentified man, pushing him down to the sidewalk and putting him in a headlock while claiming he's a migrant who's taking over. Tell me, making up problems. Foreigners are taking over New York City trade. This is a new development.
What about fucking Ellis Island? Yeah, right. I think about it all the time. It's like everybody fucking there was, or their papa was a migrant or something. You know what I mean? Like famously, like that dude, that walking fucking spaghetti man right there. Like if he could go back and witness what his great grandpa or whoever first came over off the boat. You know what I mean? Like his grandpa got done like this, probably. People assaulted him on the street. Like, go back to where you came from, you dirty piece of shit. And that's the only reason this guy is here now, especially in fucking New York City of all places. And like you said, and this dude, he's from the Bronx, right? This dude they're assaulting, he's from the Bronx. He's not a migrant.
That was the plot.
He's just a plot brown guy.
Up to, the guy was born in the Bronx. He's from the Bronx, and they beat him up for speaking in Spanish. There's a bunch of bullshit going on here. But, like, I just can't believe we're listening to people to give, like, opinions that sound like they're out of the mouth of Bill the Butcher from the movie Gangs of New York, who was a nativist asshole in 1863 or whenever.
Right.
Anyway, so, like, you're not familiar with the Guardian Angels. Sliwa started them in the 70s to, like, you know, be vigilantes on the subway back when Europe really was crime ridden, and people were doing pickpocketing and mugging and shit in the subway. In the old days, they had all learned karate and the procedure for citizens' arrest. But then in 1992, Sliwa admitted that he made up a bunch of stuff, including a lot of like they faked heroic subway rescues for publicity. He also admitted to having claimed falsely that three off-duty transit police officers had kidnapped him for some reason. So the guy is just totally full of shit, and now he's just been empowered to like beat up people for speaking Spanish in fucking New York City, to the point where after this happened, they assaulted this guy just for walking by. NYPD showed up and gave the guy they beat up a ticket for a disorderly conduct for acting in a loud and threatening manner on a public sidewalk after he'd just been jumped by five guys who NYPD won't say if they gave them any sort of summons or arrest. So yeah, whatever.
Right. It's like the owners of that gay bar in St. Louis or whatever who got mad when the cops drove through the side of their building and they got arrested for like harassing the police or whatever, assaulting police officers because they were like, why'd you do that? Yeah. Same thing happened here. Yeah. Ah, existence is a nightmare. Speaking of which, let's get into it. Like we said up top, you guys may or may not have heard. Turns out Joe Biden is old and people are not happy about it. This comes up all the time, despite him always being the same age every day, except
well, older by one day. Older by one day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But still, it's like it's news every single day somehow. But this time it's because of some kind of report came out, right?
There is a same. It's not like this isn't like an issue we're talking about. There's the same way to talk about it. And there's an insane way to talk about it. You don't need to be at the beck and call of bad faith actors who can lead you around by your dick. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. Okay. So late last week, the special counsel was in charge of investigating Joe Biden having some top secret documents in his garage or wherever, in his house, mixed in with the stuff he was using for his memoirs and gave a ghostwriter access to, trying to figure out if he should get the same charges that Trump got, and basically put out a 315-page report saying, nah, he ain't do nothing. All right. But in that 315-page report, he says that when he sat with Biden for a five and a half hour interview the day after October 7th happened, that he seemed to have some memory lapses. Now, the people that have read the transcript of it say that he was asking misleading, confusing questions that nobody really could have followed. But let's forget that for a second. This 315-page report, which I guarantee you very few people fucking read, in the executive summary of it, you know, the top line front page of it, he included the mental acuity stuff and saying that basically, even if they thought the offenses were chargeable, which they are not, in front of a jury would probably think he's a kindly old man who made a mistake and also couldn't be held liable because he probably just forgot he had them because his brain don't work good. All right. It's important to note here that this guy is had a decent reputation as a lawyer up until this point. This isn't professional. This isn't like a professional, normal thing to do. I feel like he's auditioning for a spot in the Trump Justice Department if he gets reelected. The guy's name is Robert Hur. And then Joe Biden called an impromptu press conference, I think Friday afternoon or Thursday, whatever it was, to talk about how pissed off he was about this. Because one of the things that Hur said was that he forgot when his son died of cancer, and that infuriated him. He gave an hour-long press conference during which he was screeched at by the White House press corps, who are totally useless except for transcriptionists. And then at the end of it, he fucked up by confusing the president of Egypt, Endel Assisi, was president of Mexico, which is like, okay, but that's a mistake. And I listened to a lot of Biden's speeches, and it's not that he doesn't have flubs or mistakes or like wander off in ways that are a little bit alarming, but like you talk, that's at the end of talking for like 55 minutes or something. And right. Also, for Republicans the Republican base to pretend that they care deeply about the difference between Mexico and Egypt, when to them it's just Mexicans and like, you know,
sand Mexicans. Yeah.
And pyramid Mexicans is like,
right.
It's just like, it's so weird to me the way this is talked about, because like, it's not like, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that you go watch Joe Biden in like congressional hearings in the '90s. That's the same as listening to him talk now, but it's also feels like 90% of the time, 95% of the time, 98% of the time, whatever, he seems totally fine. And I don't really know, like he had a pretty alarming moment at like giving a speech at a brewery, and I can't say the word brewery because I'm old. One reason I'm not going to stand here and say that your brain works as great when you get older is my recall isn't as fast as it was
20 years. Right.
The degree to which recall matters, we could have a serious conversation as a country about what the role of president actually is and what it means, or we can just do this kind of shit all day every day and dunk on each other, and dunk on both candidates' brains not being perfect, because they're fucking not, right? But like, there's layers to this. There's the reality and there's the discourse around it. The reality of it is all the stuff I just said, that candidates are old. Being old means you're progressing towards dying. Your body's gradually shutting down past the stage of 27. Right? We'll never know. Like, unless all 300 million of us get to go personally in a room with Joe Biden and play Nintendo with him for an hour or challenge into a contest to draw a clock, we're just not going to fucking know.
Right.
So, and personally for me, it doesn't bother me too much, because I'm not naive enough to think you're voting for an individual person to do a job that's being done by 40,000 people across the federal government. You're electing a coalition government, right?
Right. I feel like this, because people keep bringing up how old he is, this has been brought up on this show so many times, and I just keep saying the same thing every time. I don't get what people don't get about. Look, don't get me wrong. Yeah, he's old. No, I'm not thrilled with that. Yes, mm-hmm. I would prefer to have a president who doesn't have to have one of those little plastic dividers to separate his Monday pills from his Thursday pills, right? And also mm-hmm. a whole staff of nurses to dictate that for him, right? Like, of course I would prefer that, but like, it just ain't the situation right now. The situation is there's an election in November. There's two candidates, just fucking two. Mm. One of them is going to be the president after that election. One of them is old and slips up sometimes in his old papalness. The other one is old and slips up sometimes in his old papalness, while also being a raging megalomaniac who is openly threatened to throw all of our allies to the Russian wolves and undermine democracy at his first opportunity, in addition to 91 felonies and civil rape and so many other things I can't even outline right now. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how, when you're doing that equation, you're weighing that out, you're like, right, but that first guy, he's like more old though. So that's my problem with it. It's like, I don't get it. I don't understand what the fuck we're talking about. We all know he's old. We all get it. Like, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't. Like, I think even past the election, he gets elected, he's in office, and he does a bunch of old papaw shit. Liberals don't like what he's doing. People on the left don't like what he's doing. Fucking call him to task for it. Whatever. We should criticize these people. We should. But when you're talking about an election year and that's the specific context, and you're going after the Democratic candidate when the opponent is Donald Trump for this reason, when he's just as bad, like, I just don't fucking get it, man. I don't understand.
I don't consider myself part of any sort of organized PR. We're already like, I don't feel the need to like telling people to not complain about or worry about Joe Biden's age is not really, I don't
sure.
feel like doing that. But like, so like I, when I talk about like, well, it doesn't concern me as much as I feel like you're electing 40,000 people. That's the scary thing about Trump is like Trump two would be worse than Trump one is like
yes.
the 40,000 people that were
right.
that he brought with him in 2016, 70% of them were pretty sane.
Right.
They've already built
Project 2025 is. It's a whole thing. Right. You can look it up. Google Project 2025. That's yeah.
right.
Like Mark said, you're electing 40,000 people. They have a plan for that in Trump world. Mm. They're going to make sure that the 40,000 people they bring with them are the craziest true believing motherfuckers in this country. And it's a serious problem. I've said this before too, but like I worked for the federal government. I worked for the DOE. That gave me a little bit of solace when Trump got elected because I knew I was like, well, but the actual cogs in the machine and stuff that turn it and do all this stuff, it's the same people. They've been doing it for years and years. It's not, they all ain't Trump. They'll keep the trains running on time, largely, whatever. But like, they're actively working to make sure that's not the case anymore. In the this election is fucking different. I know we've said that for the past three at least, but this one is. It's different. This election right. is different, man. Like, and I just don't know how this helps anything.
Right. It doesn't. But we're here to commiserate and talk about it. So like I'm not going to tell anybody to shut the. You know, the problem. Like so. Right, he was just in office for 4 years, and he'd already figured out like velociraptors trying the doorknobs to the point where January 6th kind of came close to working.
Right,
he installed
right.
He started up sycophants, the Department of Defense, and shit. So like that's day one now. So like
exactly,
just know yes. where you're at. But so Biden, right, no,
like the last time, sorry, I'll stop interrupting you in a second. But I made a joke about Joe Biden being old this past weekend in St. Louis, right? Joking about it, pointing out he's a pap. I don't have a problem with any of that. It's when people mm-hmm. frame it as like, again, people ostensibly on the left framing it as like, really? We're supposed to vote for this guy? It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, but you are. Yes, you are. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. You know, that's yeah. all I'm saying.
Yeah, people want to be personally inspired, I guess, and they don't feel inspired. But like my thing is, like, I just want my niece to have rights.
Right.
And it's yes. like, so, I read a thing from a guy who was in the Air Force who was talking about how, like, he knows everything's not great, but it's better and it could be worse. And he was talking about how, like, he got kicked out of the Air Force, not back during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, not for being gay, but because the higher-ups heard he had friends that were gay and he wouldn't rat them out. So he lost his like pension and his career and got dishonorably discharged for knowing people that were gay
right.
and not snitching on them, putting them on a list.
Right.
And that's not our present reality. And that's better. And I don't want to go back to that. So
right.
that's a long yes. short of it. So, 100%. But so as far as how people get the information, that's enough of talking about how the actual reality of it here, because we, like I said, we'll never know. But so the problem here is the news and has two big problems: the news and the sub news. And the sub news, I'm talking about like the rumor mill, the blogs, social media. That's a lot of people get their information, but a lot of people it still starts off a lot in the news. All right, and the thing is, covering me about the mainstream news coverage of this is like everything is so meta now. It's from a 10,000-foot view from nowhere. Where it used to be like in news, like the first day story is what happened. Second day story is people commenting on what happened. The third day story is the fallout and what the ramifications are going to be. And now we just sort of skip straight to a fourth day story where on the first day, you'll get news analysis pieces with no sources.
Right.
Having what are supposed to be straight news reporters rambling about their hypotheses about
right.
how voters they imagine in their head are going to take this information.
Right.
And that's how people get that. It's like we're in Plato's shadow cave trying to decipher yeah. actual world events and what actually matters here by seeing reflections of it. Like if you just read the New York Times, you wouldn't see the special counsel's report and people's takes on it. You would, the front page story is how this is a political problem for Joe Biden. We don't get the medical problem story. We skip straight to the political problem story.
Right.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's kind of it's like how sports journalism works, where it's like one thing happens and everyone responds to that, and it shapes what the entire discourse about all of that is at that moment. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like one quarterback has one really good game, and now all of a sudden he hits when last week he sucked, and that type of thing. And like you expect that in sports world to be reactionary. But now it's the case in like actual news and journalism and stuff. Like everybody's got to be like of the moment and part of it. And they just give these like, you know, they just throw out their takes and shit along with the actual news. And there's, it's hard to, you know, distinguish the two. And it's a fucking problem. Yeah.
You would even like sports coverage is even better. It's dumber, but it's even better than this, because you would not find out who won or lost the Super Bowl by saying that Kyle Shanahan's performance in the Super Bowl raises questions about him being a joker. That's like, just tell me the score, motherfucker.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So let me read you this headline before we get the one Matt has on the screen. All right. Trump's threat to NATO gives Biden a boost. It takes attention away from questions about age. No, motherfucker. Trump's threat to NATO threatens life on Earth.
Right.
Joe Biden's job prospects are not the main thing about this. The threat is World War III. Whether or not it improves Joe Biden's electoral chances on the margins is not the main fucking thing. And like, it should be a factor in how people consider their votes, but you got to make them aware. Like that headline I just read to you doesn't tell you why pulling out of NATO would be bad or horrific.
Right.
It doesn't say.
Right. It's all just our politics is just like pro wrestling now and has been for a while. You know what I mean? It's just like narratives and teams and drama, and that's all that matters. And there's like, none of it is real. And it's like, no, the shit is real. Like you just said, like those alliances matter. Like giving up on those things matter. Telling our allies in Europe we're gonna fucking throw you to the wolves, that shit matters, you know.
Right.
Like and people, but you just treat it as like, well, this leads to a little bit of a bump in Biden's polling numbers. We'll see how Trump rebounds next week on fucking American catastrophe.
Yeah. This is like everybody involved is being deeply unserious. Now we get to like Let me read this to you. Okay, this is from the headline Matt has on the screen. Why the age issue is hurting Biden so much more than Trump? And I wish I had some slow jam betting music right now, because I want to read this like a shout out on a late night radio show. Remember those from back when we were kids? Mr. Trump, by contrast, does not appear to be suffering the effects of time in such visible ways. Mr. Trump often dyes his hair and appears unnaturally tan. He is heavyset and tall, and he uses his physicality to project strength in front of crowds. When he takes the stage at rallies, he basks in adulation for several minutes, dancing to an opening song, and then holds forth in speeches replete with macho rhetoric and bombast that typically last well over an hour, a display of stamina. I need a cigarette after that, Trey.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
this
a fucking
is
love
time by Brian McKnight.
this is straight news reporting.
Right.
There's no source there. There's nothing real. And then this woman goes on to quote from a coach on leadership presence who she found to confirm her thesis that Trump just seems like a tough guy and therefore young. All right. He makes at least as many mistakes as Joe Biden, but because he does it with this bravado, it doesn't seem like senility. It seems like passion. All right. Here's some Trump doing some bravado, some very macho bravado with his brain working normally right here at a rally like 2 days ago.
They rush into the store and they walk out with television sets. And I mean, I saw one the other day walking out with a refrigerator. He's got this massive. I said, he's a pretty strong guy, right? Can you believe?
No, I don't believe you. I don't believe you were in a store. I don't believe someone shoplifted a fucking refrigerator. And I don't understand the place where we have to pretend to believe that you saw this or heard about it in some fashion. This is fucking lunacy.
Mark, I don't know. Have you never seen the 90s classic Little Giants, wherein the character of Spike hauls a refrigerator on his back out of a moving truck to demonstrate his strength and aptitude for inclusion on the football team? I guess maybe you didn't see that. But anyway.
I did see a viral video on a show I was working on recently, like a clip show kind of thing, where it was like a guy was narrating, watching a guy pick up a refrigerator and bounce it on his back while he rode off on a bicycle. And the guy was narrating as an ad for a crackhead moving service. And I was like, maybe Trump saw that. I don't know. Go back. Look, it's not that this story shouldn't cover it. The president being accused by a supposedly reputable lawyer of not having 100% mental acuity is a story. But the way you do this, if you're as an actual journalist trying to figure out how to present useful information to people, you would interview like neurologists talking about explaining how the brain ages and whether or not stuff like verbal gaffes is a sign of deeper mental problems or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I would talk to an expert about it. You would talk to an actuary. You talk projecting Biden's health prospects being like a white guy at 81 years old who's a vegan who buys a bike or whatever. You would talk to people who worked in the White House about what the president's day-to-day life is like and whether and how an aging brain might affect his schedule or his capacity to do the job. That's how you would do it. It wouldn't be talking about how Trump has bravado and projects strength by rambling like a lunatic for a fucking hour.
No, yeah. Well, also, I'm sorry. It's bravado or whatever. As far as I'm concerned, it's him being too dumb to give a fuck about something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like me, like we've had slips of the tongue on here. It happens all the time. I do it all the time. And when I do, I'm like, ah, fuck that up. Right. That don't happen in Trump's head. He don't think, oh fuck, I fucked that up. So he just keeps right on motoring, dude. It's like, he's too dumb to have shame. That's what it is. It's not bravado. It's not machismo or nothing. Mm-hmm. And also like, fucking people talk about, you know, Trump, but they talk about how like Trump somehow doesn't seem to have aged, or like, I don't know. They talk about, you look at Trump and it's like, he's been around forever. It's like, he looks the same. He don't look much worse. He doesn't look like he's getting older. Joe Biden looks old and this type of stuff. And it's like, that's because he don't give a fuck about the things that age a human person with compassion and shit who has this job. It's a famous thing. Every president who has this job gets aged tremendously by it. Look at Obama when he came in and when he left. That's because it weighs on you. The burden of this position weighs a non-sociopathic person down. It does. But Trump don't feel none of that. He don't feel those burdens. He don't care about none of that shit. Plus, he's covered in fucking 2 inches of spray tan every goddamn day and mountains of hairspray and shit in his hair. That too. So like, it's all just such bullshit, man. Yeah, all of it.
I bet my life he's had a shit ton of plastic surgery. Although Joe Biden's also had hair plugs, and I bet you he's gotten Botox and shit too, because they all know they're in show business, right?
Right.
So not for nothing, going back to the special counsel, like he's getting criticism from like even conservatives for being this unprofessional and weird. This guy, Judge Luttig, he's a former federal judge who's also never Trump, so you can take that into account. But he was talking about how like the special counsel's comments were unseemly and an abuse of power, and like also Merrick Garland fucked up here. He didn't have to let this report go out this way. They could have been like, this is not good lawyering, this is not how we do business at the Department of Justice. We're not going to censor your report, we're not going to put it in a drawer, but like, you can't use our stationery to do your fucking blog posts, all right? Mm-hmm. Luttig called the special counsel's comments I already said that, sorry. There's Mark Levin on Fox News, if you have this video, Matt, because this is like, Levin's like, he was like a DeSantis guy, so his feelings are hurt, but still, this is like interesting to see on Fox News.
Direct interactions with and observations of him, he's someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. Who writes a report like this? Is this guy a psychiatrist? Right. Or is he a prosecutor?
So not for nothing here. Like, I do want to say, like, when I talk about my experiences, I think local news reporters are fucking heroes. All right. I think people that go to school board meetings and our adversarial police departments are the backbone of American democracy, letting people know.
Shout out to our boy Phil in Nashville at News Channel 5, right, baby. Keep the it people real.
That end up being stenographers in the White House press corps are the weirdest people. They go to private schools in D.C. and they dream of being in this world. And Trump made them a bunch of money. They were the face of cable news for a long time. And I found this article from 2021 written by Julia Offie for Puck News. She interviewed a bunch of White House reporters. Let me read some quotes from you. The mechanics of reporting have changed so much. It was just this really aberrant period in which you could almost guarantee that you could find out what's going on in the Situation Room. Now you can't, and it's infuriating. Another person, it wasn't just the fact that Trump was a gravy train. You go from a circus with flaming chainsaws to what? An old man watching his dog? I loved covering Trump. It was a great and fascinating story. They're not getting book deals no more. They need scandals. They're bored.
I'm saying that all this shit they say, it's like, that's what I like. That's what I want. They're talking about, it's like, oh, this shit's boring. With Trump, it was something every day. Like, it was always juicy and dramatic. It was like the fucking Real Housewives of Pennsylvania Avenue or something every day with Trump in office. And now it's just boring old regular politics stuff. And it's like, that's good. That's what it should be. Like that's what politics should be like. We don't need drama in our fucking politics, man. It's crazy.
All right. So that's what the news is up to. And by the way, like, it's not like it's a tough time in the media business. I know they want to keep their jobs. I get it. But it's like Trump, Biden's been bad for clicks. He's bad for ratings. And he's bad for book deals because the people he hired just show up for work and do their jobs and go the fuck home and don't do any weird, crazy shit. I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry the news is boring. But again, it makes the rest of us more able to sleep at night. So let's talk about the sub news right now. Because a lot of people get their stuff from like TikTok and stuff. And like, if you just clip out the moments where Biden does seem confused or does a verbal gaffe, you don't get the full presence. He does speeches all the time. You can go watch him and form your own opinions. But like, some people are just seeing this. Here's a clip of Joe Biden talking about Snickers bars that was passed around right-wing social media like it was a senior moment, if you have this, man.
Greedflation. Shrinkflation. You see that article about the Snickers bars? Well, it's going to stop.
Okay, Mark, so I don't know the context of this. Let me ask you, is he talking about how fucking ostensibly regular size Snicker bars are actually smaller in volume now, like the bars themselves are shrinking while they charge the same price for it? Because if that's what he's talking about, thank God somebody speaks up. It's fucking bullshit out here. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of what Big Candy is doing to us, right? And I'm glad somebody's talking. I'm glad somebody's speaking up about it.
That is shrinkflation. So maybe that is factored in. But he was talking about a piece in the New York Times about Snickers prices and talking about why the disconnect between the body politic and their emotions about the disconnect between their emotions, the economy, and actual economic data. And this piece is making the case that, like, when economists talk about inflation, they're factoring like big ticket items that people don't buy very often, like cars and TVs, for example. So if a TV, the price drops from $1,500 to $1,450, that's a big drop in price, but people won't notice it because they don't buy TVs very often. But reporters theorizing that because people buy Snickers bars really often, a Snickers bar going from $1 to like $1.15 pisses them the fuck off. Yeah, right. So sure. Like, That was a theory of the piece. You can agree with it or disagree with it, but I'm saying, like, it wasn't like he was just rambling about Snickers bars. He's talking about greedflation, shrinkflation, and how people can't really connect with what's going on in the economy because, like, they focus on stuff like the price of small ticket items.
I feel like I've brought this up so many goddamn times on the show, and we've talked about Biden's economic record and stuff. I've said, look, I get how people, like, in their day-to-day lives, the shit they pay for every day, it's more expensive than it used to be. And so they're like, this is bullshit. Like, I don't give a fuck what the stock market's doing. This is taking more money out of my pocket. So, I mean, I think it's a real thing. Like, you know, that's what people deal with daily is what they're going to, you know, that's what their perception of reality is going to be based around. You know what I mean? And the goddamn Snickers bars are too small, Mark. Anyway, go ahead.
So the bad news for Joe Biden is people like sharing shit like this, even if they know it's fake. This is a study that came out recently about media literacy, and it's both heartening and disheartening. It's heartening because people have better media literacy than you think. It's disheartening because even if they know something's fake, they're more likely to share it because it gets better engagement. Basically, we found that accuracy was not a significant predictor of news sharing, whether using lay people's or journalist ratings. In fact, accuracy was negative associated with sharing. Basically, people know what good journalism is like, but they prefer sharing bullshit on social media anyway because everyone's internalized what plays well on platforms. Where basically, our brains have been hacked by the algorithm to seek engagement, so we share bullshit.
Well, let me ask you this. You may not know, but like hypothetically, if I saw something like that and I shared it and I quote tweeted it and made fun of it, that would still count as sharing it, right? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, that, you know, I feel like that skews it a little bit. If you share something to shit on it, maybe they don't care because they get shares either way, but I don't know. I feel like that shit make some kind of difference.
Well, there's talking about regular people on Facebook and stuff, and that's what really bugs me about this. Is like I don't have the heart to be a flack, but like everyone's a fucking flack right now. We all work in comms and we're doing it for free. People are pushing this stuff out there because they feel a part of a political tribe, whether or not it's based in reality or not. And that's the part that bugs me. But like the thing for the Biden campaign or the DNC or whatever is like, this is like golf. You got to play it as it lies, and this is what the world's like right now. So, but like, one of the things that bugs me about like these sort of narratives about talking about the relative merits of the intellectual ability of the two candidates at their heightened ages is it makes it about the two guys, right? Like, we're a country of 330 million people. It's not about them. It's about us. Like, I remember like a lot of people talking about the 2016 election, like it happened to Hillary, but it didn't happen to Hillary. It happened to everybody. It happened to all the women who've had been forced to carry pregnancies to term because of Roe v. Wade was overturned. Mm-hmm. It happened to all the people who fucking died of COVID. It happened to troops that died in a more dangerous world because Trump wasn't paying attention, let the DOD ships like Delta Force to like West Africa to get in gunfights with a bunch of like random tribes of nobodies. It happened to the people of Hawaii. Remember when they were cowering in their basements? They thought nuclear bombs were incoming because Trump was beefing with Kim Jong-un, right? And an alert went off and they were kissing their families goodbye as they thought they're about to fucking die in a nuclear hellfire. That's who it happened to. If Joe Biden loses, it's not happening to Biden. Like, it's like he can go off and live a nice life unless Trump throws him in jail.
But right.
And talk about what's going to happen to the rest of us, right? So Trump's announced plans to deport millions of people from the U.S. We're talking about from the border. We're talking about in the interior of the United States. We're talking about like building up a force of ICE agents and National Guards to go door to door and drag people out of their houses and separate families and ship them out of the country. And when they talk about immigrants undocumented, they're also talking about removing birthright citizenship and kicking people out that are here illegally, just removing their legal status. Nationalizing red state National Guards to ship into blue states to drag people into camp. They're talking about establishing camps to hold millions and millions of people. What does that sound like to you?
Yeah. Concentration campy. Sounds fat, but not the first time they've had camps. You know what I mean? They seem to like camps, but yeah.
And the NATO thing, I haven't really seen any report of. They talk about why it's a gaffe when Trump says, like, talk about his NATO threat and what they call it, a gaffe. Like, it isn't what he wants to do. Like, he didn't try to do it his whole first term. By the way, the Senate and the House has passed legislation to require a 2/3 majority to leave NATO because they know Trump will try to do it in his second term. That's Republicans doing it too. But none of them explain why it'd be bad for us. It's not just the world be a more dangerous place. We might get drawn into World War III. Even if we stayed out of it, half our trade is with Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're talking about a significant blow to our fucking economy, a bunch of us being unemployed and broke. It's like, the people bored of aiding Ukraine, by the way, understand all this? Like, if it spirals into a bigger conflict? And those two things, shipping out immigrants. I hate talking about this stuff in brutal and just cold economic reality, because I do think Ukraine should remain free. I do think the immigrants should be left alone and not fucked with. Same with trans kids and whatever. And I just, like... But like, even just talking in cold hard reality, if people just don't care about that stuff,
right?
Like,
it'll fuck the economy over.
You'll have a significantly lower quality of life if Russia invades Europe, and also if we kick out a bunch of migrants. Obama tried to like a migrant roundup in 2011, and crops rotted in the field in Alabama.
I remember.
So how
that.
Do you tell people that your racism is going to make it harder for you to buy groceries? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
that's part of why. Look, I don't. Like, I don't just like get on my knees at night and pray to our corporate overlords to save us. But one thing I do think about is like the shit you're talking about. Like, there's a whole lot of super, super. I think we live in a plutocracy, an oligarchy, whatever. There's a whole lot of people making a whole lot of money, right? That, like, I think in their minds, they see that their bottom line could be threatened, that this, they don't want the whole thing to fall apart. Right. Which is what could happen if Trump takes over. You know, like you said, like the shit with Europe, like so much of our economy is based on Europe. So many people in this country with so much power are making so much money because of our relationship with Europe. And I tell myself that in an effort to think like that will encourage them to try to give a fuck about keeping Trump from doing that at the end of the day. Like, the people with the real power and the fucking strings and everything, don't want it all to go completely to shit because they'll make less money if it does. They'd rather us be fat and complacent and, you know, just content to keep living under their soft rule or whatever.
But here's the thing that's already happened. The RNC is broke. The state parties are broke. They stopped donating. And it's still going to be a close election. Yeah. So, like, it looks like, anyway, it's fucking weird. And Trump's in court arguing right now that Joe Biden should be able to have SEAL Team 6 murder him. And I'm saying maybe you let him win.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're out of time. Sorry we didn't get to the comments this week. We had too much going on. We got too heated in here, but in a way in which we agree with each other. So what are you going to do? But anyway, listen.
Yeah, we had two full pages of the outline we didn't get to. So yeah, maybe we'll have more
tickets. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Get tickets. Come see me. I promise you it's fun. Check out me and Corey's book, Around Here and Over Yonder. If you like this show, support it and get more of it by going to weeklyskews.com/more. We're going on Patreon and looking us up and signing up on there. $5 a month, 2 bonus episodes, and you get more SKUs in your life and support the show in the process. The main thing, keep watching this show here on SKUs D. As long as you do, we'll keep making it. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next week. See you. Love you. Bye.